When our children were small, we went to Ireland. I delivered a paper at an academic conference there, and afterwards we drove around the country. We had some fun adventures there. The condo we rented in Dublin had an artificial fireplace, which consisted of a huge electric coil that, when turned on, glowed red and created a lot of heat. One night, I turned it on to entertain the kids, but about a half hour later, the power in the entire unit went out. It turned out that our fireplace had overtaxed the electrical system. I walked over to the unit next door and asked the woman who lived there where I could find the breaker box. She said there were no breakers. I said, okay, where's the fuse box? She said there were no fuses. To this day, I'm blown away that this sort of construction was somehow legal, but the entire building was hardwired to the neighborhood power source without any breakers or fuses. One morning, we were trying to hurry out of the condo to catch a train to go sightseeing. I was running around the condo, trying to find Isabel, who was 3 years old. I was calling out that I needed to tie her shoes for her before we left, and she needed to come out from wherever she was so I could tie them, damn it. I found her in the entryway, slowly, painstakingly, and successfully tying her own shoes at the age of 3. Sometimes you just really need to keep up with your big sister. We had the normal hiccups, too, the sorts of things that happen on vacations. One Sunday, we split up as we toured Dublin on foot. Martina was with me, holding my hand. She was the oldest. Isabel and Julian were in a stroller with Wendy. We agreed to meet at a specific intersection. Martina and I went to that intersection, but the others weren't there. This was before cell phones, so we couldn't call each other. We walked up and down the street over and over. Martina was an incredible trooper. She walked for miles with me as we went in circles around the area looking for the rest of the family. I was getting very afraid that something had happened to them, and I was doing my best to be calm and relaxed with Martina so I wouldn't scare her. Finally, I found a cop and I told him that I was supposed to meet my wife and two other kids at a particular intersection, but she hadn't been there. He smiled and told me that this was a common point of confusion for tourists. There were two streets with almost identical names. He told us to just walk a block over to the other street with the same name and then go a block up to the intersection where we had agreed to meet. Sure enough, Martina and I found Wendy and the other kids minutes later, to our huge relief. Another time, we were on the grounds of Trinity College in Dublin, walking along a cobblestone path. Martina found a segment of chain connecting two posts, and she sat on it and started using it as a swing. I told her to get off, that she could hurt herself. A moment later, she decided to disobey me, then spilled backward and sliced open her scalp on the sharp edge of a cut cobblestone. She was bleeding profusely. I picked her up in my arms and we ran to a nearby commercial area. We found a pharmacy. The plan was to buy some alcohol and some bandages. I was going to tie the cut together by using her hair. But the pharmacist saw what was happening. He came out from behind his counter and he patched her up for us. I'm going to tell you one more story about this trip in a moment. But first, according to the text, the author of the biblical book of Ecclesiastes is Koheleth, which is not a person's name. In Hebrew, the word means one who speaks to an assembly. And it more or less identified the author as some kind of teacher. The author also identifies himself as the son of the king of Israel, King David himself. And he identifies himself as also being a king. This pretty much means that the author had to be King Solomon. But ancient writers often attributed works to famous people in order to show respect or simply to get people to pay attention to what they were writing, so we can't be sure who wrote it. The writing in the book is, however, the sort of writing we might expect of him, given what we do know of King Solomon. The book shows a very scholarly knowledge of the wisdom literature, and Solomon was closely associated with the works of the sages. In the book, traditional theologically based wisdom statements are juxtaposed with very theologically jaded and rather negative statements about his experiences in his personal life. Ecclesiastes was probably written around 250 BC. The book was clearly written over a number of years, and it's a sort of philosophical autobiography. The book tells the reader that morality should indeed be unconditional and not based on any perceived rewards from God. But the writer doesn't appear to believe that humans hold any exalted place in God's universal order, and he certainly doesn't seem to believe that God's going to go out someday and punish evil. There's no question that the theology in Ecclesiastes is at best difficult to comprehend. It's also filled with numerous divergent themes, and the logic of the book is thus very hard to follow. One theme does come through clearly, though, and this is what I want to talk about today. It's hard to find purpose in human life, and so we should just take life as it comes and try to enjoy it. This may be jaded, and it certainly doesn't reflect traditional Christian beliefs, but it does make one hell of a good point. God does want us to enjoy life and not get caught up in the chaos of human society. Here's a line from the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. For the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. What does that say? If you do follow God, if you listen to God's teachings, then in return, God gives you wisdom and knowledge and joy. Joy. We should indeed enjoy life. Just before this passage in Ecclesiastes is this. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. The point is that God wants us to even enjoy our work. We should relax and find pleasure even when we're trying to earn a living. Now, there's a scene from the Gospel of Mark that most of us are familiar with. Jesus is going to die soon. He's about to go pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has had a difficult conversation with the person who should be the most loyal to him, Peter. Here's what the gospel says about how that conversation has been going. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all may fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Jesus is telling Peter, even though Peter can't believe it, that he will crumble under the threat of being arrested and charged along with Jesus. This is perhaps the darkest thing that Jesus ever had to say to Peter. But here's what happens just before this discussion between Peter and Jesus. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, what does that say? Just before they spoke, they sang a hymn. Now, the word hymn in biblical Greek is hymnos, and it means to praise or to celebrate. But to understand the true context of this quote, we need to look at what happens just before they sing this hymn, and then they go off to the Mount of Olives. They had just had Passover, the Last Supper, the final meal that Jesus and the apostles would share. A traditional way to end Passover was by singing a hymn. The Jews did just what Christians do today. We blend music with our religious spirituals. We get our practice of rituals largely from Judaism. In this case, the hymn was meant to lift everyone up, to raise their spirits just before going back out into the world. Now, it isn't stated explicitly what hymn they sang, but traditionally at the close of Passover, they would sing Psalms 115 through 118 as a single hymn. This last part, Psalm 118, is most likely the last thing the apostles sang together before Jesus went off to his betrayal and execution. This psalm thanks God for centuries of protection from enemies that had continuously tried to destroy the Israelite people. Here's just a bit of it. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Traditionally, Christians come to church each Sunday to praise God. But we also come to church to enjoy the support of our fellow believers and to energize ourselves for the week to come. We know that there are difficult things that we'll have to face. Perhaps a chronic illness, a problem with our family life, or maybe money problems. But we also know that at any time a terrible tragedy could strike. But we know that the world of people can never break us. We know this because we come here each Sunday to renew our relationship with God. We know that God is always with us and within us. One thing we do during our services is sing hymns. The power of music lifts us up and carries us through the week, no matter what happens. Let me get back to our vacation in Dublin. There was one more thing that happened. One warm evening, we put the kids to bed and then went to sit outside behind our fire trap condo. We were in comfortable chairs, each of us holding a beer, the two of us. We relaxed in the setting sun, talking softly, happy to know that God had blessed us with such incredible children. Then suddenly we started to hear loud music. It was a rock band, and I recognized it as a U2 song. Someone was playing some very loud rock and roll. Then we both realized at the same time that this was live music. It turned out that we were very close to the Dublin Zoo, and the rock band U2 was holding a concert there. It was incredible. We had a free concert right there in the backyard of our condo while our kids slept. It turned out to be a long concert, and we listened until hours after dark. We went to sleep that night after checking our kids, lifted up by that music. We aren't here on earth to suffer every day, to do nothing but worry and work, and to live only for some future promise of an eternal life. We're here to do just what Jesus did, and that is to live lives of empathy and forgiveness, to think of others before we think of ourselves. And God also wants us to sing together and to leave church every Sunday feeling not duty-bound, but rather joyous. We are to enjoy our lives. We are to spend time with children, grandchildren, friends, neighbors, fellow believers, we are to relax from time to time and look out at the beautiful world that God has given us as a temporary home. We are to understand that grim things will happen and that terrible traumas will also occur occasionally. But we need to remember that psalm. That hymn tells us that we do not have to be afraid of what can happen in the world of people. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The morning after our free U2 concert, the kids were up early, excited about going sightseeing some more. We were tired from having stayed up late enjoying that free concert that God gave us without a warning. But we all had a very good time that day. A big reason to belong to a church is to have some fun-filled time with empathetic people who strive to live with forgiveness and kindness. We live in a kingdom of God here on earth, not a kingdom of people. And the kingdom of God is supposed to be a fun place.